improved.
It's coming up.
When it all works, we're happy.
Hey. What can I say?
Thank you for that introduction and welcome. Thank you for coming. We'll just pause here while this is running through the final steps. Thanks. Let me just acknowledge the fact that I do have several co-authors here. All of the remaining, in addition to me, except for me, are from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, which you probably are well aware of. I do have one disclosure, just to say that my research was partially funded by an organization called MEDA, Mennonite Economic Development Associates. They are one of the project managers for this, is one of the Tanzanian partners. You'll see more about MEDA as the presentation unfolds. We're all aware that malaria is a serious problem in most of the developing world. That is particularly true in sub-Saharan Africa, where nearly a million children die each year due to malaria. And the good news is there is increased attention toward that problem. There's also good news in the fact that we know that insecticide-treated bed nets are an effective weapon against malaria. The bad news is there's a lot of disagreement in terms of how to get these bed nets, best deliver them into the hands of those who need them the most. On one end of the continuum, you have folks who say these things should be delivered free of cost by either the government sector or the NGO sector. On the other end of the continuum, there's a group that would say a commercial kind of partnership, what we might call social marketing, some nomenclature like that would say either through a subsidized or unsubsidized system, deliver them in a public-private partnership arrangement. What's missing in that debate, however, is some good information about household preferences for those nets. Demand data, we might say, demand analysis in conventional economics. There are limited studies out there, but the limited studies that are there are either based on stated preferences, what we'd call contingent valuation, willingness to pay studies, we might say, or there are small-scale experiments which are limited in scope, limited in coverage, both of which can be helpful but don't perhaps give a good enough picture to give to base policy decisions on. So the objectives of this research are to provide information regarding household demand for those bed nets, ITNs, and specifically to provide a household demand estimation in a traditional economic sense. Using that demand household demand information, then we estimate demand elasticities with regard to price of nets and household income. I'll say more about that in a later point if you're not familiar with the elasticity concept. And then in addition, we use those tools to explore a couple policy options to actually increase ITN uptake at the household level. A little bit of background. The context for this research is the Tanzanian National Voucher Scheme, TNVS. TNVS is a somewhat unique program throughout Africa, particularly given its scale. And what the TNVS system does is provide a voucher to pregnant women who visit their antenatal clinic. And the voucher in Swahili would take the name Hati Punguzo. The voucher itself covers approximately 80% of the cost of the retail purchase of an ITN, about $2.30 in U.S. terms. The voucher recipient then would pay the remaining 20%, roughly 50 cents, at least those were the prices of the ITNs at the time these data were collected. Since 2004, those vouchers have been distributed in wide numbers across the whole country and have approached nearly 5 million, and have since been upscaled to include an infant voucher as well, in addition to for pregnant women. And the redemption rate for those vouchers is roughly 80%, with some variation by income class, et cetera. So there are quite a number of ITNs that have reached the household level at the national scale in Tanzania due to this program. A little bit of the mechanics, how the TNVS voucher system works. What we have here is the vouchers who leave the office of MEDA. Again, that's one of the partner organizations, the logistical manager. They see that the voucher books get out to the clinics throughout the country. Those clinics then distribute the vouchers to pregnant women as they receive their antenatal exams. The women who redeem their vouchers would find a neighboring participating retailer in the program. They would pay the top-up fee and give the voucher to the retailer for the remainder of the amount. The retailer then takes the voucher and gives it to a wholesaler in return for new nets. The wholesaler would do the same with manufacturers, and the manufacturers then would get paid in cash for the voucher number of vouchers that they have. Whoops, sorry. And then just in terms of a couple more ways to illustrate that, this is an actual copy of the voucher itself. It has an amount printed on it to say the worth of the ticket for the purchase of a net. The woman receives the voucher during her exam, and this is the clinic staff here providing the voucher, authorizing it, signing it, etc. And then she will take that voucher along with her clinic card, which is shown right here, across the street, presumably to one of the participating ITN retailers, and then presenting both of those documents will give her access to that discounted net. That's obviously an urban setting there, or rather perhaps a pharmacy, or it could be a participating retailer of any sorts. It doesn't have to be a pharmacy. It could be a consumer shop with soap, toothpaste, matches, etc. This is obviously a rural location, also participating as a retailer. Notice the sign on top of the door for the retailer. This signifies, the sign Hatipunguzo signifies that this retailer is a participant, and the women who hold the vouchers can obtain their discount net from this retailer. And there he is holding the ITN in the bag there. A little bit then about the methods and data before we get into the actual results. The data come from a household survey taken in 2006. Approximately 6,000 households participated in the survey nationally, about one-sixth of all districts. And the vast range of demographic data were collected in this survey, including information about net purchases and net use by the households, insufficient information to construct indices of household economic, socioeconomic status. But the specific sample for this research is 500 and some women who actually received the vouchers. So among those 6,000 households, we only extract the women who claimed that they received a voucher, and then we extrapolate, or then we analyze to say who in fact purchased a net with that voucher. We look at the price of ITNs as one component affecting net purchases. Those prices are taken from a separate survey in those same 21 districts of retail prices across the country. And those prices vary simply due to local market conditions and because of the differing geography throughout Tanzania, particularly remote distances, etc. And then also we have data on the district-wide density of those participating retailers, specifically the ratio of retailers to clinics in each district. That gives us a feel for the density of the participating retailers in the program. That data also comes from MEDA. The specific model then that we use to construct ITN demand by households is a Logit model, and that means we have a binary variable where the binary variable takes a value of 1 if indeed the woman redeems her voucher to buy a net, takes a value of 0 if in fact she does not buy a net. So it's not a matter of how many they bought, it's whether the woman who received a voucher did or did not buy a net. This household demand function based on conventional economic theory would be dependent on a number of variables. As we mentioned, the price of the ITN, in this case it's the top-up price that the woman pays, the household socioeconomic status that comes from the index of household income rank. We look at a whole host of demographic variables such as the woman's education, the number of children in the household, whether the household is female-headed, male-headed, etc. We also look at the density of those retailers in the district as a possible factor. Again, and the argument there is, what's the convenience, what's the ease for the potential customer to access these commercial purchases of ITNs? And then also, there's also some supplementary data within the survey to say whether these women, in fact, received a free ITN at some point. And a little bit of background there. For three of these 21 districts, within the 12 months preceding our household survey, there were some fairly broad free distribution campaigns that took place in those three districts. And what we were using those data then to explore was asking the question, does the receipt of a free net through a free campaign possibly inhibit the purchase of a net later through this voucher program? And you'll see that as a factor here later. So the results are something like this. In short, the detailed numbers I won't show here, they're in the paper and copies of the paper in the back. But just the direction of the results in terms of statistical significance goes something like this. The estimated demand function itself is highly significant, 99% so for the overall equation. And each of these variables is also statistically significant as well. All of them at minimum 90% significant, and most of them at 95 to 99% significance. And we do have fairly tight results here that match our economic predictions. For example, as socioeconomic status is higher, it has a positive impact on the woman's probability of buying a net. We have a negative relationship with respect to that ITN top-up that the woman pays. All things being equal, the higher top-up amount leads to a lower probability of her buying a net. The density of the retailers in that woman's district, all things being equal, a higher concentration leads to a higher probability of her purchasing in the net. Her education also has a positive influence, just a primary education. Interestingly enough, if the household is female-headed, it also has a positive impact on net purchases compared to male-headed households. The next two are a bit interesting because they look at the impact of other children in the household. And the argument with these two variables is that there's typically a lot of sharing of nets that goes on in these households. And so the argument would be on the third from the bottom there is, if this is the woman's first child, for example, and there are no other children in the household, that's the first time they need a net for a child. And so that, as such, gives a positive impact on net purchases. Looking at the next variable, however, if there are many other children in the household, and as there are more and more children within that same household under the age of 5, it actually reduces the probability of the woman buying a net. And simply stated, if you have 2 or 3 children already sharing a net, or at some point in the house using nets, adding another infant can simply fit within that same bed structure. And then also, there is a negative impact of women whose household had received a net through one of the free campaigns, and those women show a lesser probability of purchasing an ITN, all things being equal. Now, the fit of the model is a bit low compared to other models, as you notice here, if you look at our R-squared value. First of all, this is a Logit model, so that's not entirely legitimate, perhaps, to use R-squared if you know your statistics. But also, that's also fairly high R-squared value compared to cross-sectional demand studies. So it doesn't explain certainly everything that's happening here with net purchases, but that R-squared value does compare favorably with other demand studies in similar parts of the world for other commodities. Thank you. Specifically then, looking at the magnitudes of those amounts and how those variables have an impact or don't have an impact, the two we were interested in at the beginning were the price and income variables. And as I mentioned, we use elasticities to look at that relationship. So in elasticity, if you remember your economics at some point, we look at the percent change in this variable and the corresponding percent change in demand. And one being a kind of benchmark, we're either below that benchmark or above the benchmark, or either elastic or inelastic. So what we see here with regard to starting with income, looking at income, we see highly inelastic demand responses. That is, for the poorest households, only at an elasticity of 0.30. So that's saying if income in the household rises by 10%, we only see a 3% chance, a 3% increase in the net sales for that quintile. For the wealthiest quintile, it's even a lesser response. 0.04 is the elasticity. So quite a small response here for income effects. Regarding the price effects, also a very inelastic response. And what that's saying is minus 0.12 says if there's a 10% rise in the ITN price, we're talking about only a 1% drop in ITN sales. Okay, fairly small response, a very small response with regard to price. The retailer density, again, we're looking at the relationship between the customer convenience. When there are more retailers available, it ought to drive higher sales. But there's also a small elasticity there, a little bit larger than the others, but only 0.24. In contrast, however, there's a larger response when we look at the impact of the free net on ITN purchases. And for the overall data set, what we're talking about is about a 0.83 probability of any given woman buying an ITN. putting in the marginal impact of the free net receipt in that household reduces that probability to about 0.69. For the poorest quintiles, there's even a more marked response. They, on average, redeem their vouchers at a rate of 65%. If we introduce the free net into those same households, that drops to about 46% likelihood of buying a net. So we can use those data, use those analyses to say a couple things about policy. Within the voucher system, we might ask, what are the options for increasing uptake at the household level by, say, 5%? And there's nothing magical about that 5% number. It's clearly inadequate, but it's just a benchmark to get us started for comparison purposes. And we can use the income elasticity to say how much of a, sorry, the price elasticity to say how much of a change in the voucher amount would we need to induce that increase in uptake. And recall that the original voucher was priced at $27.50. So to achieve that 5% increase in uptake, we're talking about a 1,000 shilling increase in the voucher amount to 3,700. Now, interestingly enough, after these data were collected later in 2007, the voucher value did change due to some policy changes in the Tanzanian malaria program, up to 3,250. And what these analyses tell us is all that did, instead of actually having a positive impact on uptake, you figure in the effects of inflation here, and all it did was simply keep net purchases from falling. That's the good news. The bad news is it didn't have much of a positive impact at all, as policymakers had intended. Another option would be to say, what about cash transfers directly to clinic attendees? And if you look at other health programs around the world, cash can be an incentive to perhaps send young girls to school or participate in a particular health program. Here the hypothetical question might be, suppose we give X amount of money to clinic attendees in order to increase ITN uptake. Well, because the income elasticities are so small, we're talking about a very large amount to each clinic attendee to get that minimum 5% effect. In fact, $18 per person. So you can imagine that that's very, very cost prohibitive just to achieve that 5% impact. And in fact, that's for the poorest quintile. We would need larger impacts, larger amounts to have that same impact for wealthier quintiles. We could talk about catch-up programs, is the buzzword that's used in the literature, so-called supplemental distribution of free ITNs that would go on top of the commercial distribution system here. And that's a possibility here, I think, but what we have to realize also, the model tells us that we're not going to get a kind of one-for-one response in terms of number of nets delivered and then translate into household uptake. Because we know that fewer households will actually purchase those nets than before, simply because of our demand response here. Moreover, we have a kind of potential cyclical effect here, because we know that when there are fewer retailers out there, it further reduces demand. Now, we don't have answers on this, but the hypothetical question would be, what if some of those retailers start to withdraw from the program as their free nets distribute in their own communities? And I think it's a real possibility that we'd have to admit in this scenario. If that happens, it's easy to talk about a kind of negative cycle here where lesser demand scares away some retailers, lesser number of retailers means even further reduced demand, and then we go in a very negative direction. So in summary, we can talk about the following key points. These small price and income elasticities mean that increasing the voucher value alone, or talking about another supplement, supplementary cash grant, or looking at income growth to dramatically increase ITN uptake is not going to work. Rather, it's going to take a concerted effort for perhaps both of those programs in tandem, perhaps in conjunction with increasing the number of ITN retailers in the system. And there's no magic bullet here, at least within the TNVS system, to try and increase uptake. What it does say, though, is that if we do apply supplemental distribution in the form of catch-up campaigns, we have to be cautious about knowing how many nets are going to actually reach the household simply because of the reduction in demand that we expect to see in their behavior. Thank you very much.
Any clarifying questions for Chris before we move on? Yes.
I'm sorry? These would be a mix of both the older style of nets, which are treated with, or packaged with an insecticide packet, and the newer nets, the LLINs, which are pre-treated with insecticide, are also available but more expensive. In this particular system, the woman gets to choose whatever net she wants, the only caveat being she has to pay more for different quality or larger size or whatever. But these are the normal kind of nets that are on the market for anyone to buy. They're the same net.
All right. Just clarifying questions. We get the discussion later on.
Right, clarifying question. Do you treat the ITM price as completely independent of the density of the retailers? Do you test interactions?
We did not, although I think that's a fair question. I think there might be some.
Thanks. Let's move on to our last speaker, and I would like to welcome Nadlada Kantikul from Thailand, from Mahidol University. And when she sent me her biographical background, she said she was a PhD candidate. I think today we can congratulate you for having received your PhD. Nadlada will talk about using information education and communications programs to improve drug adherence among vivax malaria patients in northern Thailand. Nadlada is now working as a public health official in the Office of Disease Prevention and Control in Chiang Mai province. And you started your professional life as a registered nurse, as I understand, and then you got a master's in education, specializing in health education. So we look forward to your presentation.
Thank you, Chairman, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today I'm very pleased to present on the project.